You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, we've got Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic.
Hello.
Looking quite dapper this afternoon.
It's my Jeff O'Neill impersonation.
You don't... I've never seen you full suit.
I don't like to go like full, like both matching. But today I just changed it up.
Yeah, you got the tie and everything.
Yeah,
man.
Well, so are you... Let me ask you, Jeff. You wear a lot of suits. Do you ever go no tie?
I'm not allowed.
Really?
On TV, you got to wear a tie.
Which I think is ridiculous. You watch any of the sports shows in the South, like in the States, guys wear like...
I think
just
it looks
just a shirt.
It looks undone. It doesn't look. I think it looks better with the tie.
Dude, I don't care what you think because I'm the one that has to wear it every single time. But if you don't, like, there's different looks. Like you can wear like a mock neck or like a dark shirt done up to the top with no tie. It looks cool.
Yeah,
stylish. But
well, I had that going on yesterday. I mean, if I was on a panel, why would that not work?
No kidding.
I think it would have worked.
Because then
but try getting on a panel with Bob and Dregs
and
Pooley and Duthie. They'll look at you saying, we're wearing ties on this panel and you're not an exception.
Yeah, it's a TSN thing. It's not about them necessarily. That, I believe, goes across the board.
Yeah, I think a jacket with no tie looks good. Why not? Fire it up.
It's all about class, man. It's all about looking the part, feeling the part. I don't know.
I think it looks worse.
What, with a tie on?
I think it looks better with a tie.
Right.
It looks like you didn't finish.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Yeah, be careful there, Jonas. All right, we're going to get to some trivia this afternoon. At some point.
And there's going to be a wrinkle to it. This week, this show, I'm the host. And it's Hazy B Casino.
Hazy C is what they're calling me now.
What?
I'm just telling you what people are calling me now.
Oh, they're saying Hazy C?
Because I'm the captain. I had the Amazon guy, my boy, drop off a package this morning.
And he said Hazy C.
He said, what's up, captain?
Come on.
He did, I swear.
Oh, just like Dougie Gilmore said, I met my good friends, Brian and Jeff.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't even know you. He doesn't even...
Dougie's my guy. Just two buddies, two peas in a pod, two captains. Here in Toronto.
Jonas, you're a smart guy, and you don't care. Like, you don't favor anybody on the show. If you could consider one person on this show, the captain, like the guy, the glue guy that holds everything together, who is it?
I think you're the emotional heartbeat of the show. I'll give it to you. Sorry, Hayes.
The emotional heartbeat of the show.
I'm the Dougie Gilmore of the show.
You're all about emotion.
Although, thanks to our fearless leader, Steffi, she's like, it's good to see you sitting there, Jeff. You actually try when you sit in that seat. I was like, oh, thanks. Like every other show, I'm just lost in space.
Yeah, you're a noodle spot today. And Jonas, you're stuck in the middle. But yeah, I'm taking on Jonas later. So you'll be the trivia guy. You'll kind of run the whole operation. And I think I heard Jonas earlier trying to bail on it, claiming that maybe we've played this bit out a little bit too much. This is a show that does Jerry's every week for 7 years.
And doesn't take a break.
Like this
and it's
show,
never going away.
We play out everything, so don't worry about it, Jonas, all right?
He thought we were overdoing it?
Yeah, you said that.
I'm worried that the gig is like,
dude, we've only done it 3 times total.
And
has it been that?
That's it.
The last time you did it, it made it into our new commercial.
I saw that.
The Brian Mulroney comment. Yes. So you're in that.
Yeah. All right.
Your voice is in it anyway. I think they actually kicked you out of the actual animation. And
I'm
going to
put up a $20 cash prize for the winner.
I like that. Okay, so we'll do
that later. A $20 cash prize for the winner.
All right, we'll do that later.
Wait, can I just ask, who do you think the favorite is? Me or him?
Oh, I think Hayes is fantastic at trivia. He is the captain of trivia.
Hayes, you see, when it comes to trivia. So we'll do that at some point this afternoon. Steve Phillips will join us in about 25 minutes, and we'll get into what happened last night. If you stayed up, you watched history on many different levels because Washington, ever since they moved down to D.C., they've never won a series. They won a wild card game, as we saw, against Milwaukee last week, similar fashion, late game heroics. And last night, man, the Dodgers were up 3-0, and then they're up 3-1, and Kershaw comes in. Gives them one out, gets them out of a jam in the seventh, and then all hell broke loose.
Two pitches,
back-to-back pitches. He's never done that in the regular season in his history. He has never given up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches. He's done it twice now in his playoff career. Kershaw, that was depressing to watch it last night because he's truly a living legend. Kershaw is a first ballot, unanimous, number retired, living legend.
Dave Roberts said it after the game. He's like, this is probably one, if not the best pitcher of our generation. Him and Verlander are probably right there.
That's the amazing thing. Over the course of about 24 hours, about 30 hours, we saw the two GOATs of the past 10 or 12 years completely humanized. Like Verlander got rocked, couldn't get through four innings. The great Justin Verlander, you're out, you're done. And last night, the great Clayton Kershaw throws up his first pitch. Like Rendon went down and got it. That's just great hitting.
But are you not thinking get him out after that? Like, I don't want to take the chance of it happening again. Forget about who it is or it's the great Clayton Kershaw. But I always wonder, like, isn't there a thought, okay, you wanted the ball, you're a hero for going in, but that's enough.
I guess Roberts, his explanation was he had it planned out and he was sticking to it, which is not. He is getting crushed. Like, Dave Roberts, I think, is in big, big trouble in L.A. I think there's a really good shot he could be out after what happened last night. But I guess they were thinking lefty on lefty, and he hung a slider, and Soto hit it to the moon. And then he was out.
But don't you think he was kind of screwed either way? Like, if he doesn't use Kershaw and all the history that's around Kershaw...
Aren't not if they win.
I get, but then what if it doesn't work out? Like, okay. Remember we saw with Zach Britton, who didn't pitch for the Orioles that one year?
That was in a
wild card
game in Toronto.
And they lost.
So yeah, like, they did.
But so, like, you could go that way, and it still doesn't work out. But I guess that's what being a manager is.
Well, yeah, obviously. If you lose, you're going to have to explain yourself.
Like, if Kershaw just mows those guys down, we're like, oh, cool.
Right, but based on his history, coming out of the bullpen, what would have suggested he was going to do that?
That's a good
against
question.
The heart of the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, against that lineup, the Washington Nationals, there was no reason to believe he could get you through that. None. And if he wins, no one cares that Clayton Kershaw never appeared in a win. And the difference between the Britton comparison and the Kershaw comparison, that was a tie game. Like, Showalter screwed up, but his belief, we saw it. Actually, that analogy applies more to Joe Kelly continuing to pitch in the 10th.
Yeah.
As opposed to going to Kenley Jansen, where Jansen's waiting there and he's your closer and he's your guy. Robert's explanation was very similar to Showalter's. We wanted to get a lead first and then bring in Jansen. Or at least, I guess you can't really do that if you're at home, but push it further down the road to a point where you feel like your lineup is going to coordinate with the chance to win the next time you're up to bat. Kershaw went in, and it was 3-1. They had a lead. You just had to close. You needed seven outs, technically. And once he got through the seventh, you needed six.
Yeah.
And he throws up two pizzas, and it's gone, and the rest is history. They still could have won that game, though. Like 3-3, you're in extra innings, and Joe Kelly was a disaster, and Roberts didn't get him out.
Well, much like a couple years ago, the New York Yankees have got to be sitting there saying, if Tampa could somehow squeeze past Houston, we like our chances.
Absolutely.
It's like a couple years ago, Nashville got eliminated, or last year, like Winnipeg was out. There were some big teams out, and St. Louis won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Tampa out in the first round by Columbus.
Speaking of which, they're in town tonight. And there's a lot of buzz for this game. You can feel it.
I'm dressed up.
Yeah, you're dressed up because you're going down to the game after.
If it was Florida, I don't know that I'd be dressed up.
I don't think you should be for Florida.
Well, maybe not this year.
There's only so many teams that can really... There's certain players, like when Edmonton's in town, McDavid creates it. You know that he's here. Pittsburgh's here. You know that Crosby is here. But in terms of teams that you really want to match up against and get a read on exactly where the Maple Leafs are at, Tampa, Boston, probably Montreal just because of the history. Those are the three teams. Ottawa doesn't apply anymore because they're just too bad. They're just not on the radar. It doesn't matter what they do.
No. Pittsburgh, Washington comes in here.
Washington, yeah. You can feel it when Ovi's here and they've been perennial beasts in the East for a long time. But I think there's clearly a lot of pressure on both teams, a lot of pressure on both coaches.
Toronto has to expect Tampa's best. They have to expect Tampa from last year. Because it's always different when teams are rolling through town and you're looking at their past five games. Sometimes you're like, man, these guys suck right now. They're so bad. But you have to expect that night you play against them, they're going to snap out of it. And they might not. They might stink the joint out again tonight. But you got to play it like they're going to snap out of it and have their best game of the season. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Who do you think the game means more to, Tampa or Toronto?
I'd say after that.
I think Tampa.
Yeah. After that game in Carolina where they had, I think, two shots on net in two periods.
Yeah. Didn't they go a whole period without a shot?
Yeah, they did, the second period.
And then Stamkos comes out after the game?
Yeah. But I would say Toronto because I think objectively Tampa is the better team and is expected to have a bigger year. Toronto's in the conversation. They're in the cup conversation, but I think Tampa's playing the prominent role in that conversation. So what I mean by that is Tampa's going to deal with this all year. But if you're a team like Toronto who is loaded with talent, went through all of these contracts, you want to be in that group, tonight's your opportunity to prove it. Because I'm still going into a game like this tonight, not overly confident that the Maple Leafs are going to win. Like if I'm putting money down, exactly.
Yeah.
So shouldn't there be more pressure on the team that is at home that's trying to prove that they're that good? Like the Leafs, if you think you can win a cup, there really should not be any team in the league that comes into your building where you're like, we got some problems tonight. Like, so tonight's, I think, a chance for the Maple Leafs to prove that the naysayers should not exist in a situation like this.
Well, and if you want to win the division,
you got to win. You got to beat these teams. That's why the two you handed to Montreal on Saturday was so significant. The story wasn't, hey, at least they got a point. It was they handed two over to Montreal, and they're going to be chasing Montreal all year. Like, Montreal stole a point last night in Buffalo. They're at home, home opener tonight. Boston's 3-0. Buffalo's off to another good start. I think that'll likely fade, but they got a new coach, a couple of new players. Maybe Buffalo's better than we thought they'd be. You believe Detroit is better than we think they are.
Yeah. I just think they got some good young talent. Larkin, Athanasiou, they just Mantha. Their decor and their goaltending scare the hell out of me. But you just watch some of the games, you're like, man, some good players here. I don't know if Larkin can ever elevate to be a guy that's going to be able to compete with the elite centerman in the Atlantic Division, but man, he's good.
So all of a sudden, you've named seven teams in the division.
Well, and did you name Florida?
I didn't include them, but that goes without saying.
They're not off to a great start, but...
No, but they're expected to be a playoff team.
Damn right
they got to prove it, but they're expected to be. It wouldn't be shocking to anybody if they were.
Yeah, they just brought in Joel Quenneville, a $10 million goaltender, and a bunch of pieces up front and different pieces on that team. They're expected to make the playoffs.
Absolutely they are. So you got a lot of competition within the division. And
yeah.
Listen, that, I think, really highlights what we're talking about here. Forget the other 24 teams in the league, or 22, 23 teams in the league. Within the division, the Leafs have to prove that they can be the best team. And then you get to, well, what about Washington? What about Vegas? What about St. Louis? What about Nashville? You got to crawl before you walk, before you run. And right now, like within your own division, you got a lot to prove. Where I don't think Tampa does. Like if Tampa loses tonight, no one's going to be like, well, maybe they're only going to finish with 93 points, or maybe they're psychologically scarred based on what happened a year ago. I think Tampa, they're just too good. They're too talented. Braden Point returns tonight. They're loaded. They are loaded with talent.
You don't buy into that psychological thing? Do you remember like Houston, the Rockets last year? They push Golden State like all the way. Then they lose, and then they come out and suck to start the next year.
Yeah, but they still got there in the end. They still ended up with 60-plus wins and I think second in the West. Listen, Tampa's the Dodgers, and maybe they are Houston, but that's in the playoffs we're talking about. Like, I think the Dodgers and Tampa, there's a lot of comparisons there. Loaded with talent. You knew the Dodgers were going to win 100 games. They won 106. You know Tampa's going to end up with 100-plus points, probably 110, 112. What can you do in the playoffs?
But you don't think there's something to, we just have this insane regular season. I think it's like the fourth most points ever, 128 points?
Yeah.
And then you get blitzed in the first round. And then can't you see psychologically the next year you're just like, maybe we shouldn't like be going all out in the regular season. Like, maybe we should just kind of pace ourselves a little bit. I don't know, but...
But I think at even Tampa 90%, I think they're in.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
They should be all day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I think the Leafs are in that category, too. I don't know about 90% necessarily, but close to it. Like, the Leafs are not far off in the talent department.
No.
But confidence factors in. I just don't think it factors in on October 10th. Like, Kershaw, that's a confidence issue. Like, and I know you're not allowed to say that in the sabermetric world. It's all about the numbers and the analytics. That guy gets on the mound late in a playoff game, and he buckles.
It's choking. There's no other way
he
around
chokes.
It. Yeah, it's just...
It's not his stuff. It's not... He can't
And
not,
there's other athletes that's been dealing with it. It's just like Joe Thornton for years in San Jose. The playoffs would start. Couldn't perform.
Disappear.
Ovechkin had a couple for playoffs where he was brutal. But he ultimately broke through. How many more years do you think Kershaw's going to get at it? Like, after the game, he said, you know what, I'm just going to get back to work and hope to get back here next year. Sometimes next year doesn't come around. They've had a good run in Los Angeles, but...
They're still going to be really good.
Yeah, they get
all their best
talent.
Players are really young and
right.
Really good.
Bellinger's still there. Seager's going to be there.
But what do you think it is?
Peterson.
Like, do you just get nervous? Do you get, like, you played playoff games. What, like... Is there extra nerves?
It's just an element of choking. You can't deal with the consequences, or the pressure gets to you and you don't feel relaxed and you're out of your comfort zone. It's just like a golfer, an amateur golfer. They can go out and shoot a really good score, and then all of a sudden they play in like a competitive round or a money game, and they shoot 85 and they're garbage. It's choking. It's not dealing with the elements and not dealing with the pressure. There's no other way to explain it.
Well, the pitch he threw to Soto is a perfect example.
Yeah, he hung it.
Because he was fine. He got out of the jam in the seventh, and then Rendon got him, but I'm sure he was like, that was a good pitch. But I don't think he could compose himself again.
Oh, well, do you
think
there's like a...
And then he threw the next pitch, he hangs a slider.
So do you think
that's not Clayton Kershaw? That's a choker, man. That's a guy who said, I can't believe I'm going to do this again. Before he threw that pitch... It's almost as if he's like, I can't get this guy out.
No, his expression on the mound said it all. He
right.
bent down on his knees and he took his hat off.
He
and
knew
he was
it.
Disheveled.
He knew it. Probably before he even threw the pitch, he knew he was in big trouble. He was dying to get out of the game.
Well, you must get in your head. Like, it's happening again.
Yeah. Well, listen, you don't think the Leafs, when they went into Boston for Game 7, they didn't have a part of that? Don't give me this,
sure.
Well, there's new players here. No. They're all human. They all know it. They walk back into that building and... The result makes this a lot easier to claim, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were walking in there saying, we're in big trouble.
Look at the Raps against Cleveland all those years.
They knew they were losing.
It was like LeBron's there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a different story, though. They were like...
They couldn't match them.
Out there. They couldn't even play.
And LeBron was so much better. It's not like the Nationals
but he didn't
are
have,
better than the Dodgers.
But he didn't have like much... I guess he had something around him. That's not true.
He went to the finals 8 years in a row.
Pretty good.
Raptors were not alone in that. But let's play these two quotes and two guys who have been scarred. One, it was like an immediate, you know, raw, still throbbing scar in Kershaw. And the other one was from a coach who had been dealing with it for 5 or 6 months. Here's Kershaw post-game last night.
I'm not going to hang my head. I'm going to be here. I'm going to continue to try to fight, continue to try to compete. I'm not going to shy away from it, continue to do it. Everything people say is true right now about the postseason. I understand that. Nothing I can do about it right now. It's a terrible feeling. It really is. But, I'm not going to hang my head and be here next year and try and do the same thing and continue to try and do it every single year.
So I'll give him a lot of credit, man. He stepped up and owned it. He could have pulled the old, no comment, I'm out of here, backdoor shuffle. He walked out. He spoke. And he said, you know, everything you guys have been saying is true about my playoff performance, and I got to own it, and I'm going to have to continue to own it in the future. So that was, like, fresh. That was 20 minutes after he walked off that field. Here's what John Cooper had to say, the head coach of Tampa, earlier this morning about dealing with their embarrassment last year against Columbus.
I would be lying if I didn't think that there's a burden carried over. But it's, as we've talked to the players about, you can't change last year. Like, we're defending nothing. So let's go on attack. And whatever people pick us, and for that's for everybody else to talk about. It's not for how we feel. As I said before, we have a completely different team. Yes, there's a lot of our core the same, but there's no question. There's a little bit of a burden that you carry from last year, and until you know, if we're fortunate enough to make the playoffs, and you know, hopefully, if we do win a round, we're probably going to hear it all the way till then. So brush it off and let's go play hockey.
That's a good answer. What else are you supposed to do?
Yep.
Key things. You're not defending anything.
But he must, like, Kershaw must have been in the bullpen thinking, try not to think about it. And then you get out there, you give up the bomb. Actually, he struck out the first guy. Give up the bomb, you're like, uh-oh.
Well, we just talked about it. It's amazing how such a superior athlete can go from dominating regular seasons to a situation where they're like, try not to think about it. Like, that is such a flip-flop from your mentality for so many years, so many games.
This is a three-time Cy Young winner. 7 years in a row, he was top five in Cy Young voting. Now, he isn't who he was, clearly.
No.
He's older. He's had some injury problems.
Lost some velocity.
Lost a little bit. Yeah, but he's still... But he also knows, I think, what his answer was, you know, I'm going to keep doing my thing, and I understand next year during the regular season, you guys aren't going to be tracking me every fifth day. Like, when I'm pitching games in Colorado next May, no one's going to care about Clayton Kershaw.
The only time people are going to care about is when he steps on the mound next year in the playoffs.
Exactly. And John Cooper effectively said the same thing. Now, he's got to hammer home a message, like, don't take that for granted, because you notice he said if we're lucky enough to make the playoffs, he's got to keep a fire under his team. But he knows people are really going to wake up to Tampa in April. And if they end up in a Kershaw situation, let's say they're down 2-0. In a series, how do they react? That'll say a lot about their team. And if they buckle again, then they're going to be labeled chokers, right? Like, that's the reality that they're facing. And the Leafs are there right now, too. The Leafs they went to 7, but they lost 2 years in a row. So the Leafs are dealing with a similar narrative.
Sure, if they do it again, it's going to be, well, they're good enough to get in, they're good enough to go to Game 7, but they can't break through.
Can't close. Steve Phillips in about 10 minutes on his take on what went down last night. Where should the blame lie? Is it on Kershaw? Is it on Kelly? Is it on the manager, Dave Roberts? Washington versus St. Louis in the NLCS. We'll tee that up. We'll tee up Game 5 down in Houston tonight. So Steve coming up. Ray Ferraro just after 5. Trey Wingo on the show from ESPN at 6. We got a Thursday nighter tonight that it's probably going to get ugly.
Quick.
New England at home against the Giants. And the Giants, their offensive weapons are just dropping like flies. It's Daniel Jones and a bunch of guys, and that is a tough spot for a rookie. So we'll tee that up later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, trivia later in the hour. Just to kind of get the ball rolling here, we're going to have the O-Dog as our Bob Barker, I guess. Although Bob never really did trivia, but he was a famous host. Pat Sajak.
Who was the Family Feud? Drew Carey?
Family Feud was... Who was that guy again? What was his name?
Steve Harvey, I think.
It's Steve Harvey now. Steve Harvey?
That old dude with the mustache. It looked like he had rum nose and...
No, there was a guy in between, though, that did it forever.
Oh, was it the guy in Home Improvement? It was Al.
Al Borland?
Yeah.
I think he did do it for a while. But I'm thinking of a guy like from my childhood, like back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, it was that creepazoid who was creeping all over.
Richard Dawson, I think that was his name. But now Steve Harvey's been doing it for a while. Harvey does a pretty good job.
Sure, funny guy.
Yeah. So I guess that's what we're talking about. You'll play the role of Steve Harvey.
And
Drew
during
Carey.
The break, we just did a coin toss to see who went first. Jonas, you picked heads. It was tails.
Not a good start.
Hazy C, you have the option to be asked the first question or pass it off to Jonas.
What does Belichick do?
He always defers.
Defers.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will be deferring. I will take the kickoff in the second half.
Well, I'm going to put the pressure on you by just getting it right.
All right.
I dusted Jeff, and now I'll dust you.
That's fine.
Richard Dawson is the character's name?
I'm relying on the grappler. This isn't a great start to trivia. We don't know the name of the guy that we're trying to...
My buddy sent me a note saying the guy's name was Richard Dawson.
There you go. Richard Dawson. Okay.
He had a mustache. He was creepy.
I don't remember a stache.
No?
No, I don't. He was a smaller guy. I'm looking at him right now. I can see him. Anyway, Steve Phillips here in a moment, our TSN MLB analyst. Game 5 tonight down in Houston. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Astros, and the Yankees are just sitting back saying, let me know where we're going, man. We're either going down to Houston or we'll be sitting at home waiting for Tampa to roll through. And if it is Tampa, and I've seen people point this out, they're right, it's effectively going to be a home-and-home series for the Yankees. Like, they're not selling out the Trop anyway. Half of New York is going to fly down there.
They're already down there.
Exactly. That building, the Trop, will be 70% Yankee fans.
You know it.
It'll be such an embarrassment. Such an embarrassment and such an indictment.
Dude,
on that
anybody
joke
in that
of a baseball
is better.
Market.
Anyone in that building, who cares what fan they're from?
As long as they show up,
that's
I guess.
Right.
It's considered a positive. Here's Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. Would you expect that to be the case, 70% Yankee fans at the Trop?
Oh, no question. And that might be on the downside. I think that might underestimate it. I think that, they drew 32,000 fans for the playoff games. I know they covered some seats. They still had some empty seats. If this doesn't show us that this is not a market to be able to have a football team, people say, well, it's just hard to get to. No, it's not that hard to get to. I mean, I've been to the game there a lot. It's actually not that hard to get to. Now, you might have to drive across the bridge to get to it, but it's an easy drive. They just don't care about baseball down there. And, you bring it up and the 10,000 fans who are rabid fans get all worked up about it, but you can't support an 81-game home schedule with the sort of fan base that they have available to them right there. And so it's just a matter of time, and they'll be relocating, and my guess is it'll end up in Montreal.
If Tampa can somehow squeeze through this, Steve, do you think the Yankees are sitting there kind of, you can never wish for an opponent, but somehow licking their chops saying, we got a path here and we got to do it?
Oh, I think that if you ask them, they would probably whisper, because they don't want to say it out loud, but they would absolutely rather play Tampa than Houston. With the Houston Astros lineup, with the home field advantage that the Astros have, they've only 55, 56 games at home this year. Yeah, to your point, the home games in Tampa that the Yankees will experience, there's no question they'd much rather play the Tampa Bay Rays than they might. I mean, listen, the Glasnow kid's got a great arm. They're going to back him up with Snell. They're going to back him up with Morton. They're going to get their three best pitchers out there. And if it goes any further, it's a game where I know the Yankees have the big bullpen, but in a single game like this, the Rays can really match up pitcher for pitcher for about 18 innings. And so, it could be an epic game tonight. So, and the Astros can, go with their starting pitchers deep into the game. They could absolutely have Osuna come in late. They've got Presley, and who knows what starters you might get. You might get Greinke coming in late in this game, too.
We were trying to break down Clayton Kershaw and his lack of success in the playoffs, and ultimately last night was the only way we could describe it, or I could describe it, was the element of choking, just not getting the job done. Do you see it any other way, how a guy could be so dominant in the regular season and then go out in the playoffs and have that type of outing?
It's funny because he had so many...
His phone line just choked.
I thought that was one of the better questions I've ever asked.
Oh, it's set up beautifully. I could see it coming. I was looking. I was staring down the grappler. His phone is
brutal. Sounds like he's on a fishing trip.
He's always had phone problems. Are you sure you're putting your reputation on the line here, grappler? If it drops again, I'm drop kicking through that screen.
And you're going to be the bottom brick.
And you will be the bottom brick.
And be pulverized.
Yeah. Do we have Steve? Steve, you got us?
Yes, I got you, and it was a really good question, too.
Yeah, it felt good.
And so I hear a thing. Like, I mean, he's had a lot of really good outings, and so I don't look at it that, last night was a choke job. And I think some part of it was he got the big out in the seventh inning, and I don't know for sure whether he knew or thought he was going to go back out for the eighth. And so, as a reliever, just as a starter, you can't get all hyped up and then go sit down, and then go back out again. And I thought that he had so much energy after he got the strikeout from Eaton in the seventh inning. He went out and just wasn't the same guy with his location or his stuff in the eighth. So, I don't know. Dave Roberts did not have a good game managing. Joe Kelly being in that game made no sense to me whatsoever. Leaving Joe Kelly in as long as he did make no sense whatsoever. Kenley Jansen coming in as a mop-up in that game. I was a little confident with him, but I liked him a lot more than I do Joe Kelly. And so I just thought Dave Roberts had a really tough game. And I don't know whether those were his decisions or the front office's decisions. There's always a question of that there, but they made some bad decisions.
So is that Roberts' last game? Is that the fallout from this?
No. He signed up to a 4-year extension. He'll be back. And listen, he's managed a good regular season, and to the point that he manages the philosophy of the people above him. And it's a horrible position to be in where you may have ultimate responsibility but not the authority. You know, that's a terrible spot to be in where you're responsible for the outcome, but you don't have full say in what to do to get to that outcome. And I think, look, there's good people there. I don't suspect they're going to put that on Roberts. I don't think he had the greatest day. But, you know, it's interesting. He brought Kershaw back in the eighth. And look, the Nationals did the same thing. Patrick Corbin came in, got one out in the seventh. He came back out in the eighth inning, but was effective and got through the inning. He just, you know, so I don't know if it was a bad decision. It was, I think, as much on Kershaw, if not more. Now, what I do think Roberts has to answer for is Joe Kelly staying in the game as long as he did, being allowed to give up that grand slam, and then still face two more batters after that.
Yeah, that one is completely inexcusable. And I find it hard to believe someone in the front office is saying, you know, this is what we should do. Give up a walk, a double, you know, give a guy a free pass, and then leave him in there post-Grand Slam. I think that's all on Roberts. Yes, he's signed, but this team has so much money. He's going to be taking so much heat in L.A. I mean, Mattingly got him to the playoffs every year. They win the NL West every single year. It's what are you going to do when you get to the big games? But ultimately, I think Kershaw is the one that put him in that position because he's just got that history. We all know the stats. I mean, in the playoffs, from the sixth inning on, he's got a 12.27 ERA. That's the worst in the history of baseball, minimum 10 innings. And I think it was a choke job based on that pitch he threw to Soto because I think Rendon, you got to give him credit. He went down and got it.
The next pitch, he hangs a slider.
Like that, that's a choke job.
Yeah, the pitch to Rendon was a good pitch. I mean, that the fact he went down and hit that ball in the ballpark is amazing. And Rendon is so good, and he proved it in that game. A couple doubles, the home run. But the Soto pitch was a cookie. I mean, that was right down the middle. He floated it in there at 88 miles per hour, had no life on it, and Soto did the damage. And 100% with you on that one. And so, and the idea of that after that, so they get him out, and then Maeda comes in. Maeda strikes out the side. And so like you're thinking, well, then why didn't you just bring Maeda in to start that eighth inning, let Kershaw's moment? But I think what happened was they backed themselves into a plan, which was they're going to piggyback Kershaw on the back end of Buehler. And then they thought, okay, well, he got the one out. I guess maybe we leave him in here. And I think they got sort of locked in on a plan that it was late enough that I think you go Maeda for the eighth inning, you go Jansen for the ninth inning, you call it a day and you win.
Yep.
And instead they got a little cute.
What happened to Atlanta yesterday?
Oh, jeez. That was just, Brian Snicker said, you know, sometimes you slow the game down and you can make every decision and you have everything under control. He said, yesterday was a day that you couldn't slow anything down. It got so away from them so quickly. They didn't make pitches. They didn't make plays defensively. What could go wrong did go wrong. And they completely collapsed. And it was just one of those days. And it's unfortunate it came in a game five of the postseason. And give the Cardinals credit. They took advantage. They made adjustments on Fulton Evans from the last time they faced him. I mean, they did he threw the same sequence of pitches to Marcell Ozuna in game two that he did in the first at-bat in the game yesterday. And this time Ozuna waited and popped at the right field for a base hit, where last time he sort of rolled over and grounded out. So they made the adjustments they needed to. The Cardinals did early, and then they just sort of bulldozed him after that.
Enjoy the one tonight. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Can't wait, guys. Thanks.
There's Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst. The grappler goes Lloyd Christmas and totally redeems himself.
It's like he got him a phone somehow.
Yeah, that was huge. Big bounce back for the grappler.
You were out of the kumite, and you were the top brick.
Top brick. No brick at all.
No pulverizing. No brick.
Good man, grapple.
Mm-hmm. Al's right. Brother was on standby.
Yeah, Al's brother's making things happen
there. And Mullen. He was ready to take over the big chair for the grapple.
Do you have any idea what we're talking about, Jonas?
Not really.
Okay. Al's brother is that guy in there.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I know him, but I didn't know you guys call him that. Sorry.
That's his name.
Well,
he's no. Al's brother. All right, that's enough. Funny stuff. Good giggles. You know, actually, a lot of people are pointing out the guy I was looking for, the guy's name, Ray Combs, was the Family Feud host. Richard Dawson was the original Family Feud
he
host.
He was the old school original.
Old school. Ray Combs, though, had it from like the 90s through until Steve Harvey, I believe. And when you see his picture, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah, he's a bit of a grease.
That's ball. The Family Feud guy that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
There he is up there. See him on TSN4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a little guy.
I think he might have got into a little trouble at some point, too. I don't know that. I can't confirm or deny. Anyway, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will wet our beaks with a little bit of trivia as well.
Coming up after the break, question number one.
From Ray Combs, the O Dog himself.
Don't call me Combs. Just call me
I'll call you Jeff.
Dawson.
I'll call you Jeff O'Neill. It's your own thing. It's your own game. The
I
trivia
want
master.
Richard Dawson.
All right, you're Richard Dawson. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Hazy B, you won the toss. Would you like to answer the first question of trivia or pass it off to Jonas?
No, I will be deferring to Jonas Siegel.
Jonas Siegel, question number one in this round of trivia. Which nail grows the fastest?
What? What?
I am so happy I deferred.
Do we know the names of the nails?
Well, like, it's based on a toe. Are you talking toe or finger?
No, your hand. It's like your thumb, whatever.
Okay.
What are you looking at your hands for?
That's I don't know.
What, do you think one of your nails is longer?
Maybe. Let's go with the ring fingernail.
Wrong. You're fake news. The middle finger is the correct answer.
How does this work?
Like, it's your question
okay,
now.
Okay, so but I don't get to take his question if he gets it wrong? Isn't that usually how we play?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's how we've done it in the past, right? Hayes should have had an opportunity to steal that question.
Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
We didn't do that.
Moving on.
That one doesn't count.
Moving on.
Which is the world's second largest country in land area?
Canada.
What kind of joke of a question is that?
What are you talking about?
That's a tough question.
That is easy.
Dude, Jonas, how many countries are in the world? There's five fingers, dude.
You had a 20% chance.
Exactly.
You had a 20% chance. There's hundreds of different countries.
Oh, man.
A quick lead for the kid.
Jonas Siegel, who painted the Mona Lisa? This is a slam dunk.
Van Gogh? Is it
no
Monet?
God. No, God.
Oh, no, it's Monet.
Do I get to steal? Are we playing that way?
You have the opportunity to steal.
Da Vinci.
Yes, God. Wow. There's the old Tat Man coming in hot.
No.
2-0.
It's happening again.
Brian Hayes. How many states are there in the United States of America?
50.
That was life.
A tough
what
one.
What kind of question
that's
is
that's a tough one.
How many hands does he have? How
I have the
feet?
Perfect question for you, Jonas.
Oh, joke.
What did the seven dwarves do for a job?
What?
What were the seven dwarves' job? What was their job?
In Snow White?
It's not your time to talk. Go ahead.
Assisting Snow White?
What a loser.
You're a moron.
Yeah, you're a moron. Play that again.
You're a moron.
AZB.
I got to come up with something.
What are these questions?
Construction?
No. He gets that right. They were miners. The dwarves were miners.
Miners.
That's
a thumbs up. That's a thumbs up.
I'll take an L on that.
Oh,
that's fine.
Man.
All right. Hit me. I had no idea they had jobs.
Is this question going to be about Bambi or Little Mermaid?
Brian Hayes, who did Madonna marry?
Well, she's married a lot
married
of different
multiple
people.
Multiple times.
I think she's only married one guy.
No, Guy Ritchie is someone she's definitely married.
I'm like you. This
yeah,
is
but
the
Guy Ritchie, that's a fact. That's correct. She was married to Guy Ritchie. I know that. She never married Rodman.
I think I might know this.
She never married. Like, but Guy Ritchie's a lock. It's 100%. Okay, I don't know. Was it...
how many guesses does he get? That's it.
Well, I'm
You're
saying
done.
Guy Ritchie. I'm saying Guy Ritchie.
Wrong.
He's such an idiot here.
Jonas.
Is it Sean Penn?
Having the time of his life.
Look up who she's married to. Look up who Madonna's been married to.
One more quick one. Jonas, what activity other than jumping are kangaroos good at?
What?
That is not the correct answer.
Jumping.
You got to give me something.
Protecting their young and their pouch.
Wrong.
No guy.
Can I just point out that Guy Ritchie was married to Madonna from 2000 to 2008? So I get a point there. Like, you can't say who was she married to, and then I say
I think
she's
they get half
to.
A point each, because he's right, and he was right with the right answer.
But there
answer.
Shouldn't be a counter.
I agree.
Like, the grappler, that's like saying...
We don't have time here.
Name a baseball team, and I say the Jays. No, we're thinking the Yankees on that one.
Okay.
Like, that's
no,
just...
I should have
grappler,
been clearer,
you're out
clearer,
of this. Or we get Al's brother
first.
In there. What activity can kangaroos good at other than jumping?
Boxing.
Yes, guys!
All right, moving on. We'll recalibrate at 5:30.
Oh, man.
Feel free to say I'm out, because that might have been a mercy rule.
That was gross.
I think I'm
for
up 5-0.
For a smart guy, you're an idiot.
Yeah, the Athletic should be embarrassed right now.
Exactly.
I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I might have to unsubscribe based on that material right there. Ray Ferraro and more trivia. Maybe I got to take on the big guy in the next hour.
Maybe he should just host, because he can't play.
That's right. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.